Do you have a say in your financial future? Do you know how to integrate your creative ideas and your money? I am Star Cochran, a trusted financial educator and author passionate about helping you find your financial voice. Visit my website, starcochran.com, for free articles and to order my book, The Bread and Butter Chronicles, A Novel Approach to Personal Finance. Find your financial voice and the freedom to live life your way. StarCochran.com, StarCochran.com. You are freer than you think.
Well, here we go again here on Circles of Change, and it's a welcome pleasure to have Star Cochran from Star Cochran Associates in the studio again. Star, good morning.
Good morning.
Great. Well, you look like you're sort of kind of recovering from tax season here.
I'm still napping this week.
Good for you. For those of you who don't know Star, she, of course, comes on our show once a month. She's written a really clever book that makes learning about personal finances approachable. It's called The Bread and Butter Chronicles, A Novel Approach to Personal Finance. One of her passions, in addition to financial educating, of course, is being a CPA and doing taxes for other people. So this has been your high season that I'm sure still has some lingering effects. So
there's still some
those of us that filed extensions.
Exactly.
Yes, we keep you folks employed year-round. Very good. Well, our topic today, great timing, of course, right after Chris Hearn's segment here about SBA 504 small business loans. And it turns out you said to me right before we came on, I did one of those. So maybe you can share that with the audience.
I did. I've experienced the benefits of that. And what a great opportunity for business owners to invest in real estate and build that equity in their building and make it a win-win.
And as in particular, Chris's point was how many small business owners don't save a dime for retirement, and here you have an automatic mechanism to create such an investment then.
Exactly.
If done right. Right? If done right.
I've done well in that regard, yes. And real estate, of course, being one of my passions. I love real estate.
So, yes, indeed. You can't see this because of radio, but she's got this big grin on her face to say, this is the topic, Zara. Step back. Here I go. And, in fact, the notes that you gave me beforehand right away, what caught my attention is you said that you make money when you buy, not when you sell. And I have a hunch that not a lot of people think about that.
Well, with any type of investment, I think it's important to do your homework, but with real estate, much more so, I believe. And so you've got to work all the numbers, as boring and tedious as that may sound.
Or scary.
Or scary, yes. But that's really where you're going to make your money. The numbers have got to work at the onset of the deal, or you don't do it.
And when you say the numbers have to work, do you mean with regard to my ability to pay the type of monthly payment for the mortgage, the upkeep, the taxes, the insurance?
You know, there's all of that, but you need to look at your market. Mm-hmm. What are you interested in purchasing? Where are you comfortable? You need to do the research of the area. And as Chris was talking about in the commercial area, many times overlooked by investors, that commercial real estate has immense opportunity for small business owners as well as investors.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Some would say, though, with what we've gone through with the housing crunch, crash, spin, dive of back in 2007-2008, though, that the days of real estate being the kind of investment it was, particularly for second homes and so on, will, quote, never come back. Do you think that's the case? We're going to ask our next guest the same question, obviously, too.
Well, real estate's on the rise again, mm-hmm. and people are starting to look at getting back into rentals and looking at real estate as an investment again. And we saw something very unusual, clearly, a couple years ago, the housing boom, and we had never seen anything quite like that. But it's like anything else. It hit the bottom, and now it's back up and getting there again.
So that would be probably on some people's mind about thinking about real estate investment, not only if it's indeed a desire to have a getaway cabin or a second home, but the idea of buying a property and then renting it. So what's the kind of thought process and pattern and ins and outs?
Well, I'm a big advocate of real estate agents. I think that they should be your best friend, mm-hmm. if you're going to be looking at buying real estate. They offer a wealth of information. They have contacts that are hard for someone outside of the business that have access to. Mm-hmm. So you have to decide, first of all, if you're a landlord kind of person.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, you can hire leasing agent or management companies to manage your properties, but there is a certain type of temperament that goes with being a landlord. And I think if one treats it as a business and you look at it that you're in this to make money and you set your boundaries, that it can be very profitable in the long term.
So if you were a person that was going to loan money to someone who wanted to become a landlord, what would my checklist look like of the ideal attributes of a landlord? What do you mean by that? The temperament to be a landlord.
Well,
you like crisis and drama and fix a light bulb or water pane main just broke or...
Well, I think, first of all, you have to have some resources available to you. Financial resources, of course, because, well, let's face it, it's not going to be rented all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, you're going to have that payment you're probably going to have to make every month. And so you need to have that in reserve. And, yes, you have to make that decision whether that sort of fixing up and managing is something that you want to do or if you want to outsource that. And again, coming back to, you need to treat it as a business.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
If you have to have the lease and if someone doesn't pay in X amount of days, you have to be able to take that step and be the bad guy sometimes. And some people just don't have the temperament for that.
I think, you know, the other thing you said, you know, there's costs about maintenance and checking out the monthly payments and rents in your area and so on, but it's the cost of it not being rented too.
And I think that sometimes when maybe they folks will get caught up in wanting to accumulate a bunch of rentals and not thinking about, yes, the fix-up costs. And, you know, let's face it, tenants are going to...
perhaps not take care of it as well as if it had been their own.
Exactly.
That's a nice way of putting
exactly.
It,
yes. So you have to have the cash available for that as well as, you know, how long is it going to take to get that rented again? So when we're looking at areas for rentals, what's the vacancy rate in that particular area? And how long is it going to take before it's rented? And so if the vacancy rate is real high in a particular area, maybe that's not the best place right at this moment for you to look at. So there's lots of different factors to consider when you're looking at rental property.
Yeah, that's right. You had a story to tell us about a retired couple, I think, that you thought might bring some of these lessons to bear.
Yes, this couple retired from out of state. They came here. He had a small pension, and I think he was looking, or they were looking for an additional source of income as well as something for him to do and get out of his wife's hair every day. So
we,
they started,
we know a few people in that
yes.
book, yes.
So they started collecting properties, and I just saw him the other day, and he said he bought another one, and I can't imagine what his wife is thinking about that, because I think they're up to 12 or 15 now or something, and of course she has to do all of the bookkeeping for that. Every time he buys another property, she just rolls her eyes. But what he said to me was these properties he's able to buy for cash, and so he says he's done his numbers and said, you know, I could make 10% of my money, and that is a whole lot better than putting it at the bank. So yes, he's actively managing these properties, but he is he's staying busy, they're appreciating, and they offer a great source of income for him and his wife.
And I would imagine, too, if he's retired, these are the kind of things that give longevity to us as well. My father is 88. He just closed the doors of his business in December. And you know what? He wouldn't be 88 had it not been for that, as he called it, his hobby. That, oh, by the way, he was probably much more profitable and financially successful than his 35 years in corporate America. So, yeah, but it's not for everybody, right? You'd be able to walk into it with your eyes open.
You're right. And this gentleman, funny you should mention your dad at 88. He's 85.
Yeah. Oh, there
and
you
I'm
go.
Thinking,
I'm still buying a new one.
Yeah, I know. And
you want to take a nap star? Come on.
I know. I still have to work on all that. But He talks about how that keeps him young. It keeps him busy. And so,
and engaged with a community of people that are his renters and so on.
Yeah.
And also you had a story about a couple that have been collecting some three-bedroom, two-bathroom homes.
I just recently met a lady, and she said that her husband and her have been, she says, collecting, amassing this collection of three-bedroom, two-bath rentals, kind of like on the east side, midtown and east side. And they have this formula that they live by, so to speak, and that's their bread and butter, the three-bedroom, two-bath. And so, again, it's that is something that works for them. Mm-hmm. They have figured out that, and we'll talk to your next guest about this, but the three-bedroom, two-bath is certainly a house that is desirable to many people, many families. And so you buy these as rentals, and then if you ever need to sell them, that it's
they're
awesome.
Positioned. Yeah, they're positioned. I think the other piece of it is for them, it's almost like the Southwest Airlines model. Southwest has one type of plane. So they know how to service it, manage the inventory. You know, they know what they got their arms on. So that could also be for the right investor, having them all the same. And then there would be those of us that, no, the more diverse, the better. So it just probably multiplies the differences in bookkeeping and you name it that you've got to keep your eye on. You know, talk about, though, this 1031 exchange idea.
Well, I was able to do that with my office building. I bought an office building some time ago, and the market started to go up and decided it was a good time to sell. So, but I didn't want to pay the taxes on that. I had made quite a nice profit. So the tax code allows us to exchange one investment property for another. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be an office building for an office building. It could be an office building for an apartment complex or some sort of industrial space. But I was able to 1031 exchange into my new space. So I have postponed having to pay tax on that gain until I eventually sell this one.
And so you have this rolling opportunity out there somewhere. And but it doesn't feel like it's a rock that's going to come back and roll on you.
No.
Right. That's the key.
No. And with collecting rental properties, you could do the same thing. You could amass quite a few and then exchange that into a big apartment complex and minimize your management costs and headache by doing it that way.
Or at least get it all in one place that you can get your arms around it, your big arms around it. We're speaking with Star Cochran. She's a CPA and also obviously passionate about real estate as one of the venues for personal investing. She is also a financial educator, and her first book is The Bread and Butter Chronicles, a novel approach to personal finance. Remind me who the character is in your book that gets involved in this.
Jade has a passion for real estate, as do I. I particularly love writing about her and her challenge sometimes between loving a piece of property and then having to logically look at
it. It's back
numbers.
To this is a business, right?
This is a business. Yes.
The idea of flipping, so buy, fix, sell, right? Tell us about, in general, but, you know, in this time of where the market is.
And an excellent time. I think there's a lot of investors out there who are doing this very successfully. My experience in flipping was pre-crash, and I was successful in a couple of those. And there are many opportunities out there. Again, I think a good real estate agent can help you find those properties as even before they come on the market, dealing with bank-owned properties and such.
But you got to have the facts in front of you, right? I mean, so it's, again, lay out the different categories. And so the idea of flipping, what categories would you say really are important for people to line out?
Well, again, I think you have to look at, just like you do with rental property, is this a good deal? So by the time that you have to, and flipping has an inference that there's some work to be done on it. And so by the time you purchase this property and then have to put however much money into it to fix it up, what is it going to be able to sell for? Are you going to make any money at this? And again, the areas, as I'm sure your next guest will talk about, that areas are, there's different areas that are perhaps doing better in sales than others. And so where this property is, how long is it going to be on the market? And again, we were talking about rentals sitting vacant. Well, the flips can be sitting there vacant too. And if it's going to take too long, you've got that monthly payment going out, and that can be very expensive.
But, you know, you've also had a story here about someone who's been concentrating in a specific area, houses the same age, basic construction, so they can not totally cookie cutter, I'm sure, but there's a base to work from.
And, again, this person has a formula, and it just may take some thought and some research on someone's part to do this. But again, this person has picked an area that he likes, and because this area's homes have been all purchased or built about the same time, that when he goes in there to rehab, they are so similar that he can buy in bulk. So he can save money by buying, you know, cabinets in bulk and tile and things like that, so that he doesn't have to rethink, redecorate, you know, redo everything on every single house. And
which for some people, though, might be part of the joy. So you got to strike that right balance on what makes your clock tick as well.
As long as you can move that joy along, because
exactly,
you don't want it sitting there for too long. So it's, again, it's about the business. And yeah. I mean, I love the decorating part too. That's the part, one of the pieces I really loved about the flipping was the creation.
Well, and also though, with flipping is you can't get emotionally attached to that which you have. It's a business. We're speaking again with Star Cochran. You can learn more about what she does at starrcochran.com. Her latest book is The Bread and Butter Chronicles, and also this idea today that real estate has dough rising. So we played that pun into the title here. There was another category you wanted to talk about, REITs. What does that stand for, and what is that?
They're real estate investment trusts. And so if someone may be interested in investing in real estate but don't want to do the hands-on kind of stuff, real estate investment trusts are an investment vehicle in which to experience some of the benefits of real estate without having to get your hands dirty, so to speak, if that doesn't suit you. So
you've got a story about a property in New Mexico in this area.
Well, and if you're interested in real estate, it's one of those things that you should be looking for opportunities. Listen to people. Mm-hmm. There was an incident and a deal that came up in New Mexico, and I don't know anything about New Mexico, and I don't know anything about forested or mountain property, but this lady who I found out about was getting a divorce, and she needed to sell this property, and very quickly. And so in a matter of a month or so, I was able to put the deal together and purchase this cabin and 175 acres.
Oh, fabulous.
And so the cabin is a flip, and we have that under contract at the moment. And the rest of the land, well, I don't know. I fell in love with it, and I think over a period of time I might be able to do some real positive things with it, and I'm very excited about that project.
Yeah, and how far of a drive is that from here?
You know, it's only 3 hours, so it's just...
There you go. It's a perfect amount of getaway.
Yes,
and then
is.
The only other positive attribute would be if it's a sell dead zone, so you really have to unplug. And that all your CPA clients can't come and find you when you need to take your nap.
Well, there are dead zones
there.
Check that out.
Very good. We're speaking again with Star Cochran. Now, I mentioned your first book, The Bread and Butter Chronicles. Dough Rising is coming out soon at some point, isn't it?
It is. So now that I'm catching my breath, I'm already back at the computer and back into the thick of things. So, yes, I'm hoping at the end of the summer to have Dough Rising finished.
And so what is this phase for your four characters in this book?
Well, they are all facing new challenges. Jade has her eye on a couple of pieces of property, of course.
No surprise.
She's and still trying to deal with some financial issues around her own place. So that'll be kind of interesting to see how she handles that.
And then the third in the trilogy, because you'd always envisioned this as a third book, so that'll be the project on the docket right away, and it's called Any Way You Slice It?
Any Way You Slice It.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Star, thank you so very much again for being a contributor here on Circles of Change. Real estate in general, from your perspective, maybe from the telling side of your being a CPA, working with your own clients, what's your view of the market in general here in the greater Tucson, Arizona?
I'm very positive about the market. I think it's on its way up. I'm even looking at another place myself to live in, because I think even if you're not into investing in real estate, mm-hmm. it may be a great opportunity to get a little bit bigger home or get into a nice little bit better area, someplace a little bit more desirable. So,
and then I'm sure a lot of our listeners actually want to go in the opposite direction, and that is a smaller home.
Mm-hmm.
So does that prompt a different thought process at all in your mind?
I think that there's still a lot of opportunity out there, and because I think the market is going up, you get a nice price for the home you're selling, and then I think there's still some really good opportunities out there on the buying side.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to selling your own home, though, from the personal investment perspective, there's also, though, that distinction of, do I need to fix this before I put it on the market, or should I strip those cabinets before? So any thoughts on those lines, even what you've gone through personally, of how you prepare your home to be most advantageous, not just to sell it quick, but to get that investment?
Well, and I think I love HDTV. So
does my daughter. Yep, that's the only thing she watches on TV, in fact.
They have some great shows about that, and very, very true to life, and very, very good information if you're interested in selling your home. And I also go back to the real estate agents that, again, they just have that experience and can offer some great suggestions.
Well, and particularly because that can really be different from area of town to area of town, or type of home or type of condominium.
Absolutely.
So at the end of the day, though, you'd still be one, like I'm sure Chris Hearn, our guest before you, who basically is encouraging business to think about their building and invest in it like you would at home. This whole idea of moving from being in a rental property to now buying your home. Thoughts about that, with particularly the access to capital and lower interest rates these days?
Great interest rates still. We have not seen them this low, stay this low for such a long period of time. So just a tremendous opportunity for folks to purchase real estate.
And as you think about the clients you work with, first-time homeowners that are about to make that big step, how would that be different today than maybe it was 8 years ago or 5 years ago for them?
I think that this is a much better time to buy.
So not as risky.
Not as risky. I mean, you know, hindsight's great. Back 7-8 years ago, that's where we were. The market was climbing and then took a deep dive. So those who had bought back then, you know, if they could weather the storm, that's great. One of those things that if they're still sitting on the fence, this is a great time to buy.
Because, in other words, it's still the American dream, don't all?
It is.
Isn't
it? Is.
Well, Star, thank you so much for going and coming with us on this show and the prior ones with us. Again, it's starrcochran.com, her book, The Bread and Butter Chronicles, A Novel Approach to Personal Investing. An educator and a CPA, so I'm sure you're also looking for opportunities to serve other clients or people get an opportunity. How might they call you? What line would you suggest?
My number is 520-326-3937.
And your office is here in the Northeast?
It's near Costco on Grant, okay. Near Wilmont.
Very good. Thank you so much for joining us here on Circles of Change.
Thanks, Sarah.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.